Let me tell you about a product that I am using personally, and I really think this works. You know, beetroot juice has been used by Olympic athletes for its stamina-boosting effects, and studies show that it can increase athletic performance and stamina by 16%. So call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeets.com, and you can get a 30-day supply free of this great product. It comes with your first order, and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. 800-738-2198. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and our guest, one of my favorite guests, because we always have great conversations. We could go hours and hours, and I hope you're enjoying our repartee that you heard in part one on the subject of Dr. David Perlmutter's new book, Brain Maker. It's just out, and you can also get details at his website, which is drperlmutter.com. And David, you can actually hear realistic sounds in the background because I'm broadcasting here from New York City. And would you believe I live on the 21st floor of an apartment? And that's
well,
about
that's
as far away.
Well, that's probably an ambulance for somebody who didn't read the book. So
exactly. They're on their way to a New York hospital, probably suffering from a massive MI or a stroke. And that's because they didn't. Well, the book isn't out yet, so you know they haven't been able to get the benefits of it. But had the book been out, we probably wouldn't have had that audio interruption. So people like is your, you know, getting specific, news you can use, what supplements particularly have your attention these days. And you list five in the book, and that really simplifies it. You say, in addition to my probiotics recommendations, I often encourage patients to add the following five supplements to their diet, all of which help sustain a healthy and balanced microbial community in the gut. So take it away. What are those, the fabulous five?
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to. The five species or
supplements. You talk about, well, you know, from your book, DHA, turmeric, coconut oil, alpha-lipoic acid, and vitamin D. Why don't you run those down for us?
I will.
I understand what you're going through because sometimes you write a book and then somebody interviews you and they say, well, I'm here on page 223. And you go, gee, I forgot. I have so many lists in the book.
No, on page 223. That's where I have actually a graph on lipopolysaccharide. No, I'm just kidding you. But what we talk about are, you know, I don't want people to go to think that this is a huge necessity to incorporate these supplements. But people want to know that they can augment things by taking supplements. So let me start with the coconut oil. Again, you know, that's more than a 90% saturated fat. We love the idea of increasing fat availability as a caloric burn. But we further know that this type of oil specifically will provide what are called medium-chain triglycerides to the individual, and that is a great fuel for brain cells. So this is like mana for brain cells, coconut oil. And this is actually brand new information. This was only published just recently in the Vedic text some 3,000 years ago. So, you know, the idea of coconut oil being good for the body and good for the brain is certainly nothing new. I believe you mentioned DHA.
Correct.
Docosahexaenoic acid, a very powerful omega-3. It's why we think that fish is brain food. But beyond that, what DHA does, which is so exciting, is it actually amplifies the gene transcription for something. I don't mean to be too technical. Basically, let's call it brain growth hormone. It goes by the acronym of BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. But this is a chemical made in our bodies when the gene is activated that allows us to do two important things. Number one, to grow new brain cells, which is pretty exciting. Process called neurogenesis.
It's miracle grow for your brain.
It is miracle grow, right. It's going to be a green lawn. And in addition, it helps what is called synaptogenesis, or the ability of brain cells to connect to each other. It also basically allows the brain cells to be more resilient and less able to be damaged when there is trauma, hypoxia, low oxygen, or head trauma. In fact, one NFL football team has actually realized less trauma to the brain in their players, all of whom were given fish oil. So a very interesting kind of thing that you can do with taking fish oil or DHA from an algae source is basically change gene expression to preserve and protect your brain.
Now, if you're picking a fish oil, do you favor, I mean, there are all these different combos now, there are different ratios. Do you favor a ratio, if it's for brain support, that is skewed a little more towards DHA, where the ratio is...
I do. I actually do. I think that nonetheless, there is a certain health benefit of having EPA on board as well. And I'm not sure we're ever going to fully understand what is the right ratio. Mm-hmm. I will say to listeners who are reluctant to embrace the idea of DHA because they may be on blood thinners and they've been told, oh, don't ever take fish oil if you're on blood thinners or something terrible will happen. Your children will be born naked or who knows what. Yep. But you can, in fact, get pure DHA. You can get DHA derived from algae that has no EPA in it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But I do think balance with EPA for those who are not on blood thinners makes good sense.
Actually, some of the studies looking at the synergy between EPA or fish oil and blood thinners shows, paradoxically, you might think, well, you know, 1 + 1 = 2. There's a synergistic effect. But it turns out that 1 + 1 might equal, 1.1, because there's studies that suggest that there's actually fewer complications when you add fish oil to coumadin,
right,
for example.
I'd go with 2.1 on that. So it actually adds up to more than the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yep.
So DHA is, again, the reason that cold water wild fish are a strong recommendation from me. Things like salmon, sockeye salmon, what a wonderful fish, what a great fish to catch, great fish to eat. And again, I would indicate that it's really important for listeners to understand that the value of a particular fish in terms of its DHA content is diminished if that fish is farm-raised. Just doesn't happen as they just don't produce the DHA when they're farm-raised, given who knows what to eat. You mentioned turmeric and as one of our five supplements, and it is. Turmeric is really an incredibly valuable spice. Its health benefits, like coconut oil, date back in their description to the Vedic texts, where, you know, back in India, turmeric was used originally not only as a spice in curried dishes, but also as a dye for creating that yellowish dye that's so characteristic of the Indian culture. But what we understand about turmeric is it's powerfully, powerfully anti-inflammatory. Why does that matter to me? It matters to me a whole heck of a lot because our most dreaded neurologic conditions are, in fact, inflammatory. Inflammation of the brain encompasses things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, even autism. So whatever we can do to reduce inflammation makes sense to me. Beyond that, we understand that turmeric is also, like DHA, an epigenetic modulator. That means it changes our gene expression. Turmeric turns on the genes to make antioxidants. It turns off the genes that would have otherwise made inflammation. It amplifies the body's ability to make a chemical called glutathione, which plays a role not only as an antioxidant, but also as a powerful detoxification player as well. So adding turmeric to your dishes is a brilliant thing to do. Some really incredible work being done by Dr. Cole at UCLA using turmeric in the laboratory model of Alzheimer's and, you know, virtually putting these animals right back on their feet simply by giving them dosages of turmeric. Now, the next, I don't know if I'm taking these in the order that you read them off, but was vitamin D. And that could be a program in and of itself. We now understand that vitamin D activates in human physiology more than 930 genes. So again, now this is our third player that is acting as a gene expression modulator. Most of those gene pathways are found in the brain. We see dramatic reduction of vitamin D in the blood being correlated with significant increased risk for depression, autoimmune disease, Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, and even Parkinson's disease. And certainly our autistic patients are dramatically low in vitamin D. So it does a lot of great things in the brain. It activates certain chemicals that help sterilize the brain. It plays a critical role in reducing inflammation and even has a role to play in stabilizing the gut lining. And if time permitted, I'm hoping we can get to that part of the story as well.
Sure.
But that said, The last player, alpha lipoic acid. I mean, I wanted to include in the list a really cool antioxidant, and I'd be hard pressed to find a better, more versatile, that's for sure, antioxidant than lipoic acid, or as it's called in England or Europe, rather, thiotic acid. So this is an antioxidant that is a metal chelator, helps the body purge itself of metals, but beyond that, has terrific antioxidant activity in both areas of the body that are soluble in that are water soluble as well as fat soluble areas of the body, and that includes cell membranes. One other cool thing about alpha lipoic is it actually allows for the regeneration of what I had mentioned earlier, glutathione, an important antioxidant. So I tried to be very selective this time around in enumerating just five key players in terms of supplements. Are there others? You bet there are. But I didn't want this time around people to think that they had to go out and buy a dozen supplements to be healthy. The key message of BrainMaker, and the reason even here we are one day, the pub date is tomorrow, but the reason I think it's done so well already in pre-publication is because it's starting to leverage a couple of things. Number one, the notion that food is our biggest ally in regaining our health. And number two, that people understand that this is a book that's finally going to open up doors. It's finally going to let us understand that there is this whole new panorama of possibilities in terms of getting over some of our most devastating conditions, like diabetes, like autoimmune conditions, inflammatory issues that affect the brain, like we've talked about. It's a brand new playing field.
Well, absolutely. And you wanted to weigh in a little bit on restoring the integrity of the gut. You know, besides the use of probiotics and fermented foods, are there specific agents which you like to use as gut sealers or to counteract leaky gut syndrome?
Yes, and if I may just take a step back and talk about what this means, leaky gut syndrome. I mean, you know, you and I have been kicking that term around for probably 15 years at least, as have others of your interviewees, like Dr. Bland. I think Dr. Bland probably was the one who made us all aware of leaky gut so many, many years ago. But leaky gut is a problem of lack of integrity of the gut lining. You know, you understand that the wall, the gates that protect the rest of the body from anything bad in the gut getting into the systemic circulation is one cell thick. It's a lining that is kept together by what are called tight junctions. And if you opened it up, it'd be the size of a doubles tennis court in each one of us. And that is our gatekeeper for from the environment, things that we might consume, things that are being manufactured in the gut, getting into our systemic circulation and wreaking havoc. When that happens, the leaky gut is far more of an issue than just a gut-related problem. Once the gut becomes permeable, and we'll talk about some of those factors in just a moment, then inflammation is augmented. So that relates leaky gut to arthritic issues, skin issues, and yes, even brain issues. And I think when we see the correlation of the imbalance of gut bacteria that relates to things like type 2 diabetes, which is an inflammatory condition, we begin to understand that the integrity of the gut maintains itself when the gut bacterial populations are balanced, when we have good symbiosis, not dysbiosis. Therefore, things that we may do that threaten the microbiome, that threaten the array and the diversity of the gut bacteria, may well be leading to this leaky gut, the cornerstone of some of our most worrisome conditions. So what are those conditions? What are those things that we're doing? Well, first of all, the rampant usage of antibiotics in Western cultures has got to stop. We know there is a great place for antibiotics. They save lives when people have fulminant bacterial infections. But the notion of walking out of a walk-in clinic with a prescription for a powerful, broad-spectrum antibiotic because you have the sniffles is absurd, and yet it's going on across America at levels beyond imagination. And it isn't left-wing or radical what you and I are talking about now. This is being published in journals like the Journal of the American Medical Association and The Lancet that we are grossly overusing our antibiotics. Generally, their vantage point is one that focuses on the creation of antibiotic-resistant organisms. That's a big problem. It's a very real issue. It's one of the top two issues facing global health, according to the World Health Organization, in the 21st century. But I would like to take a step back and say that the other big consideration with respect to our perverse overusage of antibiotics is the effects of these antibiotics in changing the gut bacteria. There was a wonderful book called Missing Microbes, written by a physician in New York. And he went so far as to say that the changes in the gut bacteria induced by our aggressive usage of antibiotics may well also play a role in, for example, childhood obesity. So we've really got to question not only the antibiotics that are written day in and day out for whatever reason, not necessary, viral illnesses, a cold, etc., but also the idea that 75% of the antibiotics produced and utilized in America today, used in America today, are used in raising livestock. And why is that happening? It's because when you give antibiotics to livestock, they get fatter. And if livestock are fatter, then those farmers who are raising them are going to make more money. Well, the same thing happens in humans. When you change the microbiome of these livestock, they gain weight, just like what happens in humans. You change the gut bacteria to an array where you favor the overgrowth of bacteria that will extract more calories from a given meal. We're now seeing results of fecal transplant studies in laboratory mice where they transplant fecal bacteria from obese humans into a laboratory animal, and it suddenly gets fat when it's given the exact same food as its neighbor who did not have the bad bacteria transfused into its intestine.
So you can catch obesity and you can catch leanness, actually, by transmitting it.
You can. I'm not sure it's transmissible in the common understanding of that term, but it is certainly inducible. It is certainly something that you can induce in yourself by frequent exposure to antibiotics, by exposure perhaps to foods that have been treated with glyphosate or Roundup, the herbicide that is so commonly sprayed on the very food that we eat, pretty much is the reason that our food is genetically modified. It happens when you experience chronic stress, and it happens when you're consuming water that's been chlorinated. These are all threats to the microbiome. These are all things that ultimately change the microbiome and can lead to then permeability of the gut. Now, one of the biggest issues with the gut becoming hyperpermeable is there's a chemical that lives within the intestine. It actually is found on the cell membranes of gram-negative bacteria, and as such, it's throughout the colon and the small intestine, or mostly the colon for that matter. And it's called lipopolysaccharide, actually pretty much exclusively within the colon. And it belongs in the colon. It doesn't belong in the systemic circulation. Why? Because this LPS, or lipopolysaccharide, is a powerful inducer of inflammation. In fact, a lipopolysaccharide is used by researchers to create inflammation in the laboratory so that they can study the actual process of inflammation. So you're able now to measure LPS or antibodies against LPS in humans. It's a standard, easily pursued laboratory study. And published data, and I show these graphs in BrainMaker, published data now shows dramatic elevation of markers of LPS in Alzheimer's disease, in ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, where the level correlates with the severity of Lou Gehrig's disease.
So it's the smoking gun. It shows that some of this impetus towards these inflammatory diseases is coming from the gut. It actually is the CSI evidence that we need to make that linkage.
You can write a book about it, my goodness. But right. Let me, to complete the array, my gosh, we see LPS dramatic elevation in autism and even in major depression. So the party line now amongst even depression researchers is that depression is fundamentally an inflammatory condition. How incredible it is that the way that the SSRI, the serotonin reuptake inhibiting drugs, work may have nothing to do with serotonin, but may well have to do with the fact that these drugs are actually anti-inflammatory. So we may have been missing the mechanism in terms of the efficacy of these drugs, getting back to the fact that the gut is permeable. You know, it's why we see such high levels of depression correlating with inflammatory bowel disease, with inflammation in the gut. I reviewed one study last week where inflammation of the gut was induced in laboratory animals, and lo and behold, they had loss of growth of cells in their brain's memory center, the hippocampus. That's a gut-brain connection if you ever wanted to have one.
So there's a lot of information here to chew on, if you don't mind the pun.
Oh, go ahead and say it. Digest.
Yeah, digest. The bottom line is, you're probably going to get a lot of that. Get used to it, because you may get a lot of that in the next few days. I think you're going to have a busy time of it. Where are you headed in the next few days for our listeners to follow you on TV and, in terms of some of the interviews you're going to be doing?
Well, the best place for them to go would be drperlmutter.com and just click the media tab, and it'll tell you what cities I'll be in via satellite on Wednesday of this week, later this week. I'm on Fox and Friends towards the end of the week on Saturday. Dr. Oz will be early in May. And a lot of radio, a lot of print. And I am just so thrilled that the world is opening up to this progressive spirit. There's a great quote from Maurice Maeterlinck, a Nobel laureate, a Belgian playwright, actually. And he stated that at every crossway on the road that leads to the future, each progressive spirit is opposed by 1,000 men appointed to defend the past. And that's true. I mean, I think you were sort of hinting about that earlier, about detractors wanting to maintain the status quo. And I always think back about the quote from Ronald Reagan, who said that status quo is a Latin term that means the mess we're in. So it's time that we move past status quo and be comfortable out on that limb, because that's where the view is best.
Well, you're certainly getting the word out, and I really appreciate you allowing us a scoop as you get ready to launch BrainMaker, which will be available. You can pre-order it, of course, but it is official pub date is as of the date that we're going to put it up on our website at drhoffman.com. So thanks very much for joining us. Once again, your website is?
drperlmutter.com, just like drhoffman.com. There you go.
All right. Thanks very much, and let's hope for another phenomenal success, just like Grain Brain.
I think
the world
so
really needs this type of information. Thank you very
really
much, Dr. David Perlmutter, for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.